It's a song that he put on our hearts a few years ago when we did our CD, and the music, praise God, the music came, and he said, I want you to sing it this way. And so when we were in the studio, my sister-in-law heard the music, and she said, can I meet some of those Caribbean fellas that you, that's, I said, no, that's, our voices are dubbed on them. But the Lord wanted it done a certain way, and again, it's to reach certain people. I don't know who. I know when we went to South Africa, they adopted it, and the Caribbean, I mean, in Guyana, South America. So the Lord is using that to tell us about, to get off the merry-go-round. And I think that's why he had me do it today, because I wasn't supposed to. Annalisa was going to sing, but her voice was under. So he told me that I would do that song. And I believe I'm preaching to the choir here at Spirit of Truth. But there are people on Periscope that need to hear this message. That the only way we can come out of our sin and get off of that spiritual merry-go-round of corruption and is through Jesus Christ. Because we've all been on it and we all take a ride on it once in a while. Thing is to come off of it and to stay off of it, and the way to do that is with Jesus. So let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you right now for all you do for us. Thank you again for the wake-up call, for the just the wisdom, Lord, to come before you and know that you are God, that you are our sustainer, God. So be with us today as your message goes out in the first of this series, Lord, and let be done what needs to be done in your people. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. And we all say amen. Amen. All right. So today's message is pride. Comes before the fall. Whichever way you want to say it, pride goes before the fall. Pride happens before the fall. Before a fall, before we fall. Pride comes before the fall. That's the sermon message. And obviously, pride is a big issue with all of us human beings. Pride is an issue. Even those who are saved, yeah, it's still a big issue. Even if we consider ourselves to be saved, pride finds a way in. Pride is like a cockroach. It just seems like you just can't get rid of it. Truth be told, pride is at the root of all evil. At the root of all evil. Now, I know we commonly hear the phrase, money is the root of all evil. You all heard that before? Anyone heard that phrase before? Money is the root of all evil? Right. I think the OJs might have made that coin that. I don't know. They used to talk about that. Money. It's the root of all evil. And actually, it's taken from 1 Timothy 6:10, and it's actually taken out of context. Did you know that? It's actually misquoted. All right? Because 1 Timothy 6:10 actually says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It didn't say that it's the main supplier or the main proponent or the main cog in the wheel of evil. That's not what it said. That's the first half of the scripture verse. So money in and of itself is not the root of all evil. Okay? But loving money, if one is not careful, can lead to all kinds of evil. We know that, right? Money will get you in all kinds of trouble. We know that. So we can't say all outright that money is the root of all evil or all sin, but we can emphatically say that pride is. You see the difference? Pride is the root of all evil or all sin. And realizing that as human beings, we all have inherited a sin nature. We've all inherited that sin nature. We need to understand how pride lies at the base of sin. Pride is at the base of all sin. Hey, just think about that. Whatever we do that's not in keeping with God, pride has a hand in it. Can you imagine that? When you talk back to somebody, and you say, have little choice words in an argument, or when you feel like you've got to vindicate yourself, and the Lord says, Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And you come back with a snappy response and turn your head and do that neck thing. I can't do it. If I move my neck like that, you'll be wheeling me out of here. But you know what I'm talking about. So it's amazing to know that pride is at the root of everything we do. Sinful. So that way, we ought to investigate that. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything controlling me. I never did want anything controlling me. That's why I never had a beer. That's why I didn't want to be intoxicated. I thought I might get hooked. My brothers got hooked on alcohol. That's why I didn't take drugs. My brothers got hooked on drugs. But little did I know that there was something that was going to grab me. See, because you can't do it by yourself. You got this sin nature. And pride will grab you in one way or another. You know, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it womanizing, whatever the case may be, or manizing if you're a female, whatever the case may be, pride will grab us. So it's important then that we know that this thing is out there. I remember when somebody told me that the devil was real. I didn't believe in no devil. I watched TV and watched Casper the Friendly Ghost, and I would see little devils with horns, and I thought it was animated comedy to me. But when somebody said, no, the devil makes you do things, really, that bothered me. Here was something I couldn't fight. I couldn't shoot him, couldn't beat him up, you know, couldn't challenge him to a fight in front of the projects. I couldn't do anything with this devil. And that's how I feel now. I don't want anything controlling me except Jesus. Except Jesus. Let me throw that in there. See, I didn't know Jesus either at the time. So there was nothing that I was going to let control me. Nothing, nobody. May as well shoot it out, fight it out, duke it out. Let's die right now. May the best man win. Have your insurance policy paid up. We got to go. One of us not going to make it. That was the mindset. But now, you know, that mindset is still there in me. Maybe it's pride. Maybe. But I'd rather die than not serve God. You see what I mean? And we've talked about this several times. But dying is the easy way out. The way to do it is to stay in the Lord. And the only way you can truly follow him is to let him reduce that pride in us. Because it's there. So we need to know about pride, because it certainly is a detriment to human beings, pride. And many of us are unaware of the magnitude of destruction that pride does in our lives. Ruins households. It ruins relationships. It keeps people separate from their family members for years. Won't even talk to each other because of misplaced pride. Some people don't even know they're being prideful. Some people think as everybody's out to get me, and they're getting everybody else because of pride. That pride is a very surreptitious, clandestine thing. It hides, it slinks in on you. And we need to know about pride. We really do need to know about it. So let's go to our Bibles. Let's begin our journey. And this is the scripture of the day. Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19. It said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better, it says, it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know what that means? Pride is going to get there and cause you to stumble. It says that what's being said here is that pride is, it's too much for you to carry, whether you know it or not. You can't carry pride. It's going to weigh you down. Pride will weigh you down. So it's best that you lighten your load. Lighten your load and just drop that pride, because really you can't carry it. There ain't nothing to be playing with. It says pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That means before you hit the ground, pride is going to go before you. It's going to pave the way. It's going to provide the avenue for you to crash and burn. That's a powerful message right there. The scripture tells us that pride is like gravity, bound to bring you down. That's right. And the Lord told me that Friday morning, in the wee hours of the morning, he said, pride is like gravity. It's bound to bring you down. And God is serious about this, see? This is a truth. This is what I call an axiom. It's a truth. Pride. Pride is like an unwanted or unruly guest at a party. And when he arrives, things just go bad. That's right. And when we give in to pride, we allow it to take root in us. It starts to fester in our lives, and destruction is sure to follow. And sometimes it's hard to spot. It's hard to know that pride is in us. We don't want to believe pride is in us. Who, me? I know he ain't talking to me. I think I'm talking to all of us. I think I'm talking to everybody. I know I'm talking to me. I should say the Lord is talking to me. Just in the past 2 weeks, in current events, I've seen the results of destruction, the deadly nature of pride. If you've been anywhere around a news media or news event, you've seen some dastardly, deadly examples of pride right in front of your eyes from reasonable looking people. Huh? He did what? Him? That man? Well-spoken, intelligent? Killed how many people and why? That man right here in our own backyards drove up to his wife, ran out of the car on camera, shoots her in the head, and gets back in his car in front of two children. Two baby boys said, "Mommy, wake up," shaking their mother. Now, I don't know what happened in the relationship. I don't know what went on in their lives. I don't know what happened. I don't really care about that. What I care about is that pride moved this man to the point where nothing else mattered except how he felt to kill this woman in front of her children. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He was going to fall. The haughty spirit had gone in before him, said, "There she is. Come on in," and waved him over in his car. The haughty spirit was there enough to move that man to abject rage or an insanity. Because I don't know. That's pride. It'll move you to do something like that. And I know a haughty spirit came in before him. I know it did, because when they caught him and they walked him to, did you see it? And they walked him in handcuffs, you know what he said? Did you read his lips? Did you hear him? He said, "That wasn't me." Got you on camera. Witnesses, not only in California, but probably all over the nation, and probably in some foreign countries, have seen this video, because it's news that's happening now. Yet he says it wasn't him. He said they got the wrong man. That's what he said. Got the wrong man. Right man, wrong spirit. Right man, wrong spirit. The spirits now are laying low, or they're gone, or they jumped off his back. See what I mean? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I have to use that example because this is what's happening in people's lives. Not the only one. It's not the only one. There was another one. I can't place it right now because I'm just doing this, trying to get these in my head. But we know who's at the root of it. Who's at the root of it? The devil, right? Right? Yeah, yeah. Somebody else. There was another man that shot his wife and shot a baby, right? His wife, the school teacher, right? Yeah. That was another one. What would make you do it? What would make you do it? Something angered you so much that you said, oh, nobody's going to do that to me. No, I got to do something about this. I'm going in there. She got to go. There's no other way. I'm the judge, jury, and executioner because of my pride. Got to kill her. She got to die today. Anybody in here, if that bully goes to him, so what? I can't help it. It's going to boom. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit goes before the fall. Pride. I'm thinking. There was somebody else. The other man. The other man that took a selfie of himself driving down the road. So I killed 13 people. I killed another one. I'm about to kill another one. And he went and shot a 74-year-old grandfather for no reason. Executed him. Then when they caught up with him, he executed himself. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And they work with pride in our lives. Yes, they do. Now, I don't want to talk about the spirits today because we're going to make our way through this. But I just want you to see what goes on in our society and in our lives. These are true life situations that is happening right in front of us. If we don't have anything else, we know that pride is alive and well in the lives of people. Now, those are extreme circumstances, but are they? Are they? How many men beat women because of pride? Well, she just got out of line. No, you ain't never said nothing. Nobody gonna say nothing like that to me. Man, I don't care. I might have been wrong, but et cetera, et cetera. Whatever the case may be. If we don't have Jesus, we'll fall to pride. We'll fall to pride. I can't even give an example today. I'm going blank. I'm looking at these situations that got my mind so stayed on the gravity of these acts that we're seeing in the news now, in society now, that it pales. It makes the smaller things pale in comparison. But the truth is, no pride is good. No pride. So many different things in our lives that are going on in our households. Hardening of hearts. I'm not going to speak to her because they won't call me. And I'm not calling them and your relatives. Nobody will come through and break the barrier. So there's a polarizing effect in families. No wonder gang members are killing each other and they're really related. No wonder, after generations and generations. But haven't we seen this throughout the Bible? We're studying the Bible. Haven't we seen it with Ishmael and Isaac's people and now in society, and we got gang members and killing each other and the Italian mafia, which started out with all Italians and pride and get back and stuff. And money being a root of all kinds of evil, then Satan uses that money to get you to come against somebody. This is all pride at the root of it. You see what I mean? And that's what the Bible is telling us right now. That's why pride stinks in the nostrils of God. That's exactly why. We look at Proverbs 16:18, and we were just talking about the scripture that we know that pride took the lead. It takes the lead in destruction, right? And obviously, what happened in these people's lives was a culmination of a failed relationship somehow. But pride was left to tick away like a time bomb until it explodes. And that's how it is in our lives if we don't get a handle of it. You know, not that you're going to do that. Not, it may not move that way in your life, but in one way or another, pride will bring us down. I know it in my life. You, I was one proud man. Yeah, I'm very serious. She's right. I'm very serious. I'm very serious because I was taught pride. I ate pride. I slept pride. I jogged packing. I took bathtubs with guns. I took baths with guns around me. Ready to shoot underwater. Telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. Yes. Ready to go. If you got shot, keep going. Have in your mind that you're going to keep going at least to get to the person who shot you in your last steps. Take his eyeball out with your thumb. Take his throat out. Get to him. He's going to take you down. He's going to suffer going down with you. Pride. And to be a protector, but still pride. Do you know what the Lord has had to do to get that out of me? I have to pass tests, you all. Daily, not fighting and shooting tests, just taking orders tests. You can't pass a small test. How you gonna pass a big test? The Lord once told me, I'll be transparent. I don't know if other pastors do it, but I, you know, hey, I'm in this with the Lord. I tell it like it is. If you can't, If a woman upset you so much that you go off verbally, or you just grit your teeth till they, you know, till you feel dust, if somebody makes you that angry, how can you teach anybody? How can you be an example to anybody? Now, I wasn't to that point, but I was one mean man because of society and because of what I learned and because I wasn't going to take it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's some people here that say, ain't nobody going to mess over me. I ain't going to let nobody mess over me. I don't know about you, but there's some people probably say, well, look, I've gone to school long enough. I shouldn't have a job like that. I need to have this job. I need to do that. I earned what I earned. I did the work. I did this. I did that. We have to be careful because pride comes in. Then pretty soon can't nobody tell you nothing. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're the hardest person to get along with. Pretty soon everybody else is wrong and we're the only one that's right. Pretty soon everybody looking at you like, you crazy. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And that's why God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, okay? And the evil way and the perverse mouth, the Lord says, I hate that. So even if you're prideful where you're trying to get back at somebody else, somebody rubs you the wrong way and you rub it right back in their face, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Uh-huh. He said, if they take your coat, give them your cloak. Right? I'm telling you, that's not normal learned behavior. No, that's, yeah, you got to learn that. Where do you learn that? Can you go to school for it? Can you send off for it on Amazon? No, you got to go to the Lord to get it, right? You got to get it from the Spirit. You can't get it down here on earth, right? That's why it's so important to look at this word. If it's something God hates, I can't stress this enough. If God hates it, we got to abate it. right? If God hates it, we have to get rid of it. You got to learn to like what your father likes if you're going to live in his house. So I was raised up. My daddy wasn't going to let me live in his house unless we obeyed him. I had to learn to like what my father likes. Yeah, couldn't question it. Because when you get to liking what you like and you go against the rules of the house, it's time to get your own house. And we who are Christ followers, I don't know of any other house that we can live in besides the house where the Holy Spirit lives, which is the temple of God. See? So we don't have an option the way I see it. We got to learn to like what God likes. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to let some things go. We got to stop this lying. We got to stop playing with this thing. I'm like, well, God know how I am. Yeah, he know why he is. That's why he knew where you before the foundation. That's why he put this Bible together for folks like you. And me. Now, when I say you know I'm talking about me. Two, first. He said, I start at the top, Joel Jones. Leadership down. So I don't, and you know what? I'm glad. Because I don't want to be in this business if I'm not right. I dare not get in front of a pulpit of people if I'm not right. If I'm not striving to do what they'll take me down now. Now, if I fell out, y'all all run up out of here, would you? I would, too, if I wasn't a preacher. I'm gone. But I got to tell the truth. See, I have to tell the truth. I'm not playing with this thing. I'm not stupid or naive enough to know that. I've got pride again. At least I don't feel like I'm just bone dumb ignorant where I don't understand that I need God's help. We all need his help. Nobody has all the answers. You ask me something I don't know, I'm going to say, I'll pray about it. Let's ask the Lord because I don't know everything. And I'm glad because I know God doesn't put us here to know everything. See? Put us here to follow him, to know him, to know the Lord, to seek his face, to pray to him, to walk in him, to be one with him, but not to become him. To be like him, but not to think you're him. See? And pastors and preachers will tell you that, well, you're a God and he's God and you and him, so you are God. Cows have babies and they're baby cows. You're a baby God. You're a calf God. Cows have calves and you're a baby. Whatever the case may be, look, God didn't birth me. God created me. He's the creator. I'm his creation. I am not God. I'm seeking to be more God-like. I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize, which is the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm seeking. To be more like him. Some people say we are a kind of God. Well, if you want to be a kind of God, you got to learn to be kind as God. That means drop the pride. You want to use that language and those phrases? Yes. If you call yourself, hey, okay, you're not God, but you're sort of a kind of God. Yeah, well, we have to be as kind as God. Mm-hmm. If we say we love God, we got to learn to like God. And we have to learn to like what God likes. And we have to lay down some pride. We have to lay down some perverse speech. We have to get rid of the pride, the arrogance, and different things like that. Every one of us, we want to be made and remade in the image of God. That's what the word is teaching us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is his reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? That's what Paul said, to put it that way. I beseech you, brethren and sistren, by the mercies of God. What does he mean by that? That we have to depend on God. We can't get to this thing without God. We can't find the answer without, we can't know about it without knowing about God. We are at the mercy of God if we want to get the right answer. You want to change that personality? And you know you need to? Stop having your way? You got to lay some stuff down. If you're praising more at the ballpark than you are at the church, you got to lay some stuff down. I got relatives like that. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. They don't mean any harm. They just don't know. They don't know that you, people don't know when they're putting God second, when he's second in our lives. We don't know it. Unless you get into that thing and ask him. It's like being with a, if you're a man, it's like being with a woman. A woman, you're like, it's like being with a man, and you think you're doing all right, and you think you're doing things, and she said, look, I need more time with you. I know you're working. I know you're trying to make money, but look, we haven't been out on a date in 10 years. Well, 10 weeks, whatever it is in your life. He said, but you know I got to do this. He said, I know, but I need more time with you. See, God says, I need more time with you. I know you got things to do. I know you're working. I know you like the ball game. I know you got kids, but what about me and you? See, what about me and you? I created you for great things. My word says it. My word tells you that. I know the plans I have for you. How are you going to know them if you don't spend some time with me? Plans to give you a future and a hope. You're trying all these things and it's not working. You know why? Because you don't know me. Because you haven't laid it down. You haven't walked with me. You haven't talked with me. When's the last time you dreamt about me? Did you hear what I told you yesterday? Did you hear it 2 hours ago when I sent that person to you that you kicked out of your house? Do you know me? Pride at the root of it. Devil stirring it up. Keeping you confused. You'll just keep on going in circles. If we don't get to know the Lord and lay that pride down, I know. It's powerful. It's a powerful thought because I didn't plan on speaking on pride. It was Friday, Thursday, and I said, haven't heard from the Lord on the message. And I was thinking that. I didn't even say it out loud. And I sat down on the couch and he started speaking. So this is the message that you'll give. And that was it. For a reason. I don't know everything, but as far as how the Lord works, even though he speaks to us daily, I know that pride is firmly rooted in a lot of people's lives. Did you see the football player? Did you feel sorry for him? I did. What's his name? Hernandez? Aaron Hernandez? Fantastic football player. A gang member. Young man makes it good, comes out of the hood. I think he was up for all pro at one time on a championship team. Patriots goes to the bar and gets into it with people and has a guy killed. Because now you got money. But that demonic spirit is still messing with you. You think money can save you? Money is a root of all kinds of evil. Got somebody to contract kill somebody and had him all on film and different things. Pride. A haughty spirit goes before destruction. A haughty spirit goes before the fall. Arrogant. Think the money can save you? And once they sentence him to I don't know how many years, And he knew he was up for some more. They found him hung in the cell. You know what was written on his head when they found him? John 3:16. That hurt me, man. That hurt me. Because I know the boy was a soldier. I know the boy was a soldier. What he did was wrong, but he was a soldier. But for the grace of God. See, I understand the mentality because that was my mentality. Do your time. Face it. Face the music. I never kill myself. But that was his. But that's how badly the devil took him down. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. I'm talking to men now. Brothers, black, white, brown, yellow, brothers, green, Martian, brothers, whomever you are, wherever you are, we need the Lord in our lives. The more macho we are, the more we need the Lord. Huh? I don't know about men that like to collect flowers. That's all right, too. But if you're the type of man that's used to bringing flowers to a funeral instead of picking them, you need the Lord. We need it because the devil is after us. You better know he's after you. He want to keep you out there on your own. He want to keep you ostracized. He wants to keep you from the church. We can't afford to be out of church. Whoever hears this message, if you're a male, you can't afford to be out of church. We can't afford to be out of the presence of God. We need too much work. I've learned this through my walk with the Lord. When you're a soldier, you soldier. And that's a good thing. But we soldier in a different way in the natural than in the spirit. In the spirit, it's a hard thing. Because you're used to making the decisions and you're used to going through the front door. And the Lord says, wait. Don't you move. But you say, but Lord, it's time to, it's right here. I'm supposed to, I'm used to that. And he said, don't you move. Let me do the work. I'll take the lead. But soldiers don't do that. We're used to being by ourselves. We don't care if the whole world turns against us. The Lord said, I can't afford to have you by yourself. I want you with everybody. No, I'm not going to have you live in a corner by yourself. You're going to invite everybody in. You said, but Lord, you know I don't want to be around a lot of people. He said, well, how are you going to work for me? The Lord. So we as men, if we love him, we have to lay down that pride. And I'm sure women, y'all don't get off the hook either. You got some things. We ain't gonna look in your closet now. You got in your spiritual closet, but you got some things that you got to get tidied up with the Lord. We all do, is what I'm saying. But as a male, I have to speak on that because I know that the devil has us in his gun sight, fellas. He's got us in his gun sight. And so that's why the Lord wants this message put out about pride. We have to know. I saw my father go down hard. I saw him go down hard. And I didn't understand a lot of the things that was going on in my father's life until I became an older man myself. And I turned into him. So, but my grace and the saving grace is that I know the Lord and my father didn't. That's what's saving me. That's what's saving a lot of people. I said when the Lord saved me, he saved a lot of people. Because I wasn't going to take it. See, you learn in the world, and if you learn in combat and you learn in special forces and you learn in subversive type of fighting, to be able to leave whatever you have, to be able to walk away from it, to be able to walk away from it, because if it takes that, you have to be willing to walk away from it. You have to be willing to walk away from your family. If you got something to do and you've got an assignment, you be willing to move, even if it takes, even if it means dying. There are men that go on assignments you don't even know they're gone. It's a suicide mission. If they make it back, they make it back. Some make it back. They're doing it today, right now, as we speak. But they have contracted to take on this job, and that's the way they're made up. Well, that's how it was, and that's the mindset. Now, when you come to the Lord, it's the same mindset, only spiritually. You got to be able to walk away. You got to be able to leave it behind. But you do it by God's terms. And that takes laying down pride, especially when you've learned it another way. To put down your gloves, to put down your weapons, to never use your hands again. To never use a subversive thought. It takes a lot of work. As they say, to love the unlovable, as Jesus did. And that's why we have to look to Jesus. Because as long as this scripture is in effect, and we know that God's word stands forever, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't hardly have to preach on anything else. That haughty spirit follows you, male and female, men and women, especially men. But also women, that haughty spirit. It'll follow you right into the church. Oh, yeah, it has. Uh-huh. Yeah. Even in the church, that haughty spirit. To different degrees, more or less, but some of you, like I said, are holding grudges. Some people hold a grudge because somebody got a different opinion than they do. Every time he say something, every time she say something, oh, no, I can't listen to her. She just always saying, you, now you've included them in everything they say is wrong. I can't listen to her. I can't even watch her on TV. No. Oh, my auntie? Oh, no. I don't even answer her calls. We just can't get along. We're polar opposites. And you're speaking this stuff because of your pride. Because you don't want to come to the table. Some of our hearts are so hardened that we feel like we're being mistreated and overlooked. Some people get upset because they feel like they haven't received the credit that they should have. Because somebody didn't invite you to something. They didn't even know. Maybe they forgot about you. Maybe they were just overwhelmed and then forgot your number at the time. Or you hold a grudge against that person because of your pride. That happens. It happens right here in the church. People don't receive credit for what they think they should receive credit for. That's it. And it lies at the bottom of the grudges that we carry. Pride is at the bottom of it. Again, when we can't get things to go our way and people don't react the way we think that they should, pride is, it just travels. It travels and it runs deep. It runs ahead of us. And that's what that scripture is talking about. Pride goes before destruction. It's already gone before you, and now your heart is hardened. I told you about that. I told you about the person that came right up in this church. Said, I came here to sing. Want to be in this choir. Want to be in this. Want to be in that. And how do I start? Where do I begin? Pastor Annalisa said, this is what you do. Person said, but why? Because this is how the church operates. This is our vision. Person didn't care about the vision, didn't care about anything, just said, look, I have a gift. Do you understand? I have a gift. The Lord gave me a gift. I'm glad they didn't ask me, because I would have said, was it Christmas? Did you give them one back? But Annalisa, you know, being the little Annalisa that she is, explained that in a very sweet, nice, spiritual way that this is what God has given us. But the person was not interested and got very upset and just kind of shot down Annalisa verbally. Very rude and, you know, That was that spirit of pride. And we really have to know that the devil is working to keep, especially Christians, distracted and from getting all we are supposed to get in God by using pride, which is at the root of everything, every sin and every evil that we do. So it's important. You know, when a person comes in and says, I want to sing, and I want to sing now. You know, pronto. Today. Put me on that platform. Audition me now. I'm not leaving till you guys sing. It wasn't that bad. But basically, that's what the person was saying. I've been on Dancing with the Stars. I know what I can do. A haughty spirit, pride on display. And we can sit here and we can examine pride and we can see it clearly in others' lives, but we sometimes don't see it in our own lives. We joke and we laugh, but it's serious business. And I thank God for God. I really thank God for God, because God's job is to reveal pride to us. It's his job is to shine a light on it so that we can be stronger and walk in it. He reveals your pride. He's going to let you know that you're being prideful. He's going to let you know that you're being, that you need to be pulled in, okay? God has a way of shining a light on pride and especially in pride in our individual lives. He has a way of showing you, like take being self-confident, for instance. There's nothing wrong with being self-confident in and of itself. We have to be. But some people, even in the church, you know, like I said, when we have gifts and we're eager to let other people know we have gifts, and we practically force those things on people, and pride gets in, like the young man that said, I want to sing. And not at this church, this was a different church, and he wanted to sing, and he said, people have told me I can sing, and I know I can sing, and I want to sing. And when we on the board asked him, what's your idea of singing? And he said, I want to sing for the Lord. I'm supposed to be used by him. And the question was, well, will you go on 23rd if the Lord tells you, and cutting? And we just set up a megaphone right there and sing about the Lord. He looked like, no. I mean, like, you know, on the platform. I mean, like up there where the people watching and see. That's that little bit of pride that's in there. And God has to work that thing out, because you may not ever sing. See, God may not open the door for you to sing. Because he says, if you've done well with the small thing, with a few things, and now I'll make you the master of many things. He says, you humble yourself in the sight of God, then God will lift you up. See, you can't lead unless you know how to follow. You can't lead unless you have to. You want to be served, but can you be a servant for the Lord? That's what it's about. And this is straight Bible 101. It's straight Bible talk, because it's coming out of the Word. There's nothing wrong with in and of itself of being self-confident. That's actually a plus. But when pride creeps in, when that haughty spirit gets on you, then God is going to let you know. Mm-hmm. Indispensable. We begin thinking in our own mind and not in the mind of God. Again, I've seen people make their own self-proclamations. I've seen people self-appointed watchmen. I've seen self-appointed ministers for the kingdom of God. And after a time, they're not in the ministry anymore. What happened to them? You said God called you for this. And what happened? And maybe God didn't call at all. Maybe it was just in our minds. You see what I mean? That's why if you don't know him, how will we know? If we don't humble ourselves and get on our face and fast and pray and say, Lord, I'm not moving until you move me. Lord, I'm not going to do anything until you tell me. I'm not going to, I'll show up wherever you need me to show up. But I don't want to move in the wrong direction. Thank you. I don't want to move in the wrong direction. I want to trust in you with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding, and all my ways acknowledge you, and let you direct my path, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, 6. See, that takes humility. Because he may not tell you that you're going to be what you thought you were going to be. Will you still love him? Will you still walk in it? Sometimes he won't. He'll have you do some other things, preparing you to do what you want to do, but you won't know you're being prepared for it because he's got you. It's like on the Karate Kid when he said, wax on, wax off. And he just kept having them wax up everything, wax on, wax off. He wanted to learn karate, and the old master said, wax on, wax off. And he kept doing that, but then when he got into fighting, he was so used to wax on, wax off, that every time they threw a punch, he could defend the punch because he had done so much waxing on and waxing off. But he didn't know he was getting ready to be put into position. And that's how God works. If we just sit and let God drive us instead of trying to drive the bus ourselves, we won't have that old haughty spirit. Have you ever gotten on a bus, paid your fare, and said, bus driver, I need you to take me home. I live up the hill on 35th Avenue. You know, you make a right turn or something. No, you get on the bus, pay your fare, shut up, sit down. The bus driver get you where you're going. That's how it is with Jesus. You come to Christ, shut up, do what he tells you to do. Let him get you where you need to go. Drop the pride. Stop trying to chart your own way. You get in the cab and say, move over, cab driver, let me drive. You pay it into him so he can drive. Then let Jesus drive you. You're paying into the kingdom of God. You said, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm giving you control over my life. It doesn't belong to you anymore. That's how we drop the pride. Oh, it sounds good, but it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy. We forget. We have to be reminded over and over again. Self-centered pride. Root of all self-appointment. Most times it's self-centered pride. And that's why it's got to be God. It's got to be God who puts people in position. Even at this church, I can't do anything unless I go to the Lord. I can't do anything unless I go to the Lord. I can't tell you the caseload that I've had in the past 2 days. The Lord is holding me up in this pulpit because on my own, I would not be in this pulpit today. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying you don't know the behind the scenes things that the Lord does to teach you first. That I support you. I stand you up. I make you strong. I move in you. I cause things to happen. I am your salvation. I am your redeemer. I am your restorer. But you got to humble yourself to me if you want to see the end result. If you want the rewards that I have for you in heaven, you got to drop that pride. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I'll tell you, I've said it before. I don't know a team anywhere in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, soccer. I don't know a team at all anywhere where the player tells the coach which position they're going to play. I don't know. I know that on teams, a coach either drafts you because they're interested in you or they allow you a tryout. And that's how I see the kingdom of God. You see, I was drafted by God. But when you're drafted, you still got to make the team. You're given an opportunity to make this team, which is God's team. God's going to see what you got. God's going to train you, but he's going to see what you got. And sometimes you don't get out there with the first team, or sometimes you got to ride that bench until he said, come on, son, let's go. Let's see what you got. You got to be ready to play. You got to be ready to move when God says move. Nobody on the Cowboys ever went to Coach Landry and said, Coach, I'm ready. Put me in right now. You'd be on a bus back home. They'll pay your ticket, but you're going back home. You're going Greyhound. That's how it was. I know. So when you, how do you think it is with God? How are we going to tell God what position we want to play? We don't even know what's in us. Every fighter thinks he's going to win when they said fighters approach the ring. And you step and you're face to face with the other fighter. You see him with the stare down. You know how they look at each other? Nobody move. You look at each other. Because if you move your eyes, you're weak. I saw you. Your eyes flinch. You're scared. And it gives the other fighter an advantage. Well, all fighters look at themselves. Each fighter thinks he can win until the late rounds, until the 12th round. And you're sitting in your corner and you're looking at the other fighter like, you tired? Just give me a sign. We'll both fall down. I was in a fight like that once. The guy got tired. He was 6'5", and long legs. It was a karate match. And karate and kung fu. I was kung fu, he was karate. We both had, so he was a champ, and I was a champ. So let's get it on. After about the second round, he felt them kicks and them punches. We were getting ready to come out. He said, you tired? I said, no, brother, I'm feeling real good. But you can't do that with God. See, after a while, you got to humble it. You got to humble yourself. Every fighter feels good, but I've been on the other end too, where I knew that I wasn't feeling it that day, and I was tired, and I was sore. But you still had to go into the competition, and that was a fighter who was ready, doing this kind of stuff. You go, oh, I'm so tired. You got to answer the bell. And that's why in this spiritual walk, we have to let the Lord train us. He's going to tell you what you got because he knows. Or he's going to put you through your paces and he's going to get that pride out of you so that he can move you to the next level. So you don't sit and be a baby Christian all your life on milk. See? And continue going in circles and continue because pride has us stagnant and we're just not satisfied. And we say, what is it? A lot of times it's because we have not submitted to God. As it says in James, submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. That means that God will pull that old demon off of you. See, God allows the devil to come on you to get you where you need to go. Like Demille said the other day, don't think in some strange things of the fiery trials that's come upon you because the Lord has allowed those things to come upon you. As it says in 1 Peter 4:12, that's what he's talking about. The Lord allows those things to come on you to drop that pride. Oh, yeah, God's got a stain remover, all right, called the devil. Yeah, shout it out, devil it out, put the devil on you to get that stain off of you. By pouring it on you. Oh, yeah. That's how it works. Pride is something that we don't always know is there. And we don't know how God is going to, the methods God's going to use to get this pride out of us. So when we call ourselves being on a team, we can explore certain scriptures in the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 12, and in that it tells us that God comprises the body of Christ, and how it's comprised. It says that there should be no schisms in the body, no separation in the body, right? No schisms in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. That's what that scripture tells us in 24 and 25. We should have the same care. If one member suffers, the other members suffer. If one member does well, the other members do well. And that's how, so we should have no competition in church folk. No competition. See, we should all be striving to make the same mark. If one person does well, we ought to do well. We don't come and exalt ourselves. We let the Lord move us. We humble ourselves in the sight of God. And then he lifts us up. And something happened. If I can be, again, transparent with you all. Speaking of James 4:10, which says to humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. You know, that comes from James 4:6. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means that if you're prideful, guess what? God has got to resist you. When you're prideful, you're pushing against God. You can't win that one. It says that God resists you when you're proud. He resists the proud. You're beating your head against the wall thinking you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It ain't going to work out because God ain't going to go for it. He's going to teach you about pride. And sometimes the lessons don't come like we think they're going to come. God does resist us, okay? And our relationships suffer because when you have pride and when you have sin, what does this do for your relationship with God? It separates you from God. That's what the Bible says. You know why? Because God resists the proud. I don't want you near me. No. Not like that. No. You can't come before my throne of grace like that. Clean yourself up. Get that peanut butter off you. You coming before my throne of grace. Get that sin off you. Right? That's what the Lord says. Pride is so unnoticeable sometimes we don't know it. We don't even know when pride is in us. I'll give you an example. Last night we're at the hospital. You all know Pastor Annalisa was going through this thing with asthma. So we wound up in the emergency room. She needed breathing treatment. So I said, okay, I got sermons to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. How much time are we going to be in this hospital? So we go to the hospital, and we're waiting. You know, you put you in a little gown. She looks so cute. They put her in a little gown. And she gets there. She gets her iPad and her telephone. You know, she can't be without a gadget. So she's waiting on the doctor. And I'm like walking the floor like, I got things to do. Where are these doctors? Why is it taking them so long? What's going on? Do we have to wait on all this? So, you know, and I'm sitting there. And there's a nurse outside the room. And I can hear the nurse. I didn't know it was the nurse. I hear a guy talking. And he's really annoying me. Because he's eating corn chips. You ever heard anybody eat Fritos corn chips? And the doctor said, I'm going to leave them with the prescription. They're going to come in and give you a breathing treatment. So just wait there, Miss John. And Pastor Allen said, okay, doctor. And you know, she's like, okay, doctor. So I'm waiting, and it's like 20 minutes, and I'm walking around, and all I'm hearing is this guy saying, oh, yeah, that was nice, yeah, and I just got back from lunch. I'm saying, if you're back from lunch, why are you eating those doggone corn chips? That's what I was thinking, you know? So, but I wasn't going to say anything, and I'm sitting waiting, and he's eating these corn chips, and finally, I thought he was an orderly or something. He comes in, and he pulls the curtain back, and he goes, hello, ma'am. He said, oh, you're in room number two? And we say, yes, sir. And he goes, oh, here's your medicine. It's been there for a half hour. I could feel the bubbling rising. And I looked at him, and it was like, no, Joel, don't do it. Don't even think it. And it was like violence, and it was like somebody needed to tell him off, and the water kept coming up. This is my wife. She got asthma, and you're sitting out eating corn chips. And it was like bubble, bubble, bubble. Thank God for God. I was looking at him. And Annalisa said, you almost forgot about me. He said, oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. I really tried. And I noticed this accent. Well, he's from the Caribbean. Somehow the Lord moved the conversation and Jesus came up. And you know, Pastor Annalisa, well, you know my husband, and this is what happened to us. And the guy stopped in his tracks. He said, really? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, the Lord came to me. Really? I've never heard of that. You mean it came to you like that? No. Yeah, it did. And then before you know it, the water started going back down. And we witnessed to this young man. He's about 38, 40. But he had never heard that kind of testimony. He couldn't leave. He sat there and folded his arm. He said, I really need to hear that. I needed to hear that testimony. And then he left. He went to lunch or something, somewhere else. And another lady, so they said, no, we're going to have to move you to another room. So they move us to another room. Now I'm starting to, he said to pray for me. Please pray for me. And Annalisa immediately started praying. I prayed too, but it wasn't immediate. She started, it's that way I pray. I heard her praying. And that's how I started, because she was praying and couldn't hardly breathe. I said, yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And I could hear the Lord. And so we prayed, and then they moved us to another room. We got another room. Now look at this. Now watch this, how the Lord works. Another room. This nurse came in. She came in. She turned her back to us, and she said, so you've had a breathing treatment already, have you? And she's just going on and on. And Lisa says, yeah, she's so nice. You know, when you're around nice people, you feel like they're so nice. I'm not like that. I'm nice, but I'm not that kind of nice now. You're not just going to walk on us. But she was like, oh, well, okay. And she didn't hardly look at us. And I said, oh, this one here. Lord, what's going on? This one here, you know, we can't even witness to her. She's just out there, you know. And Pastor Annalisa even said, she wasn't feeling this one, but she's talking to the Lord. And the Lord told her, the lady's name was Hannah, so the Lord said, ask her about her name. And I didn't know he had asked Annalisa that, because I'm just made up my mind. No, let's just get our medicine, get on up out of hell, right? They don't know about Jesus, let's leave them, you know. And so, no, they don't want to hear about Jesus. She was either from another, what country would you say? Ethiopia or Sudan or something like that. So I didn't want to offend, is what it was. So we were trying to figure out a way to get in. But Annalisa came out and said, I noticed your name is Hannah. And she said, Hannah? And she said, yes. She said, Annalisa. I said, leave her alone, Annalisa. Don't start. Because I know what's coming next. She said, do you know what Hannah means? Because my name is Annalisa. Do you know what that means? And the lady said, yes, the Bible says it means grace and favor. And she said, it does. That's what my name is. My name is Annalisa. And, you know, the Lord did this and did that. And he came into our lives in such a miraculous way. And she just started going on. And the lady said, what? What? And she said, my husband was a Muslim. And I said, oh, she done let the cat out the bag now. She said, he was a Muslim. She said, I've been praying that the Lord will come to Muslims for 20 years. I've been praying that he's revealing himself to Muslims. And when I told her the testimony, she was about to cry. She sat there. She was just in so much. She was so shocked that she could hardly move. And before it was over, boy, we were like one big happy family. We were sitting there, and everybody was sitting and hugging each other. And she told us about the man that was saved, who the young man who came in, and he was saved because the Lord sent him to her, and he was drinking, and he wanted to kill himself. And she said, I don't want to live because my mother died. And she said, but I know someone that could take the pain away from you, and his name is Jesus. Can I pray for you? And he gave his life to her, to the Lord, and he had used her. But you wouldn't have known it to look at her and the way she was behaving. So after we got home, the Lord said, Joel, when you do this message on pride, he said, it comes in all forms. He said, what do you think, Joel Jones? Is it prideful if we don't witness to others when my word says, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son? He said, even if you don't feel like it's the right thing to do, or even if they don't behave like we think they should we not tell them? He said, tell your congregation that tomorrow. I said, okay, Lord. I stand corrected. He said, you and Annalisa both were in a position where you didn't want to. He said, but I put the message in Annalisa to jumpstart her, and then you both jumped in. He said, that was good. I said, but Lord, let me ask you this, if I may. I said, in all fairness, I said, we hear from you this way. And any normal person would not have felt that way. What do I tell them? He said, you tell them now they know. Because I did it through you. And I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So that message for whatever you get and understand out of it is that the Lord speaks, and we have to really keep an eye on our pride. Because sometimes we feel like we shouldn't do something, or we don't want to at that time, or that person may not be worthy, or they're not going to listen. Is that God speaking, or is that another voice telling you to keep you from doing what, not just witnessing, but going against what God wants you to do? So that when we get to heaven, he said, I had this for you, but you see, on this date, you didn't do it. You see how pride works? Do you all get that? Because I got it. I had to get it. But I got it now. And I pray that we all get it. So we're going to continue with this next week. We got some other issues that we need to talk about. And we want to go through the Bible and see just how it worked in God's people's lives and how it's working now. Amen. So God willing, we will continue with part two of Pride Goes Before the Fall. And to those of you who are listening to this right now or watching this on Periscope, we pray that you will line up your lives with Christ, because that's the only way we can come out of our avenues of sin. God wants to put us in a position where we are walking with him at all times. And the only way to do it is to come to Christ. The Bible says, no one comes through the Father but through the Son, and that is Jesus Christ. But if you give your life to Christ today, he can forgive you for your sins. 1 John 1:9 talks about that. That if we give ourselves and repent our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what the word says. If you don't know Jesus, I would implore you to please try him. Some of you have tried doctors and psychologists. We have the doctors trying doctors. We have the psychologists going to psychologists. Where do the experts go to find peace of mind? There is one supreme God, one supreme Father who can cure the ills of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. I know because he came to me. So if you would, I'd like to lead you to Christ. I'd like to pray this prayer for you. And if you pray along with me and sincerely just believe, that's all I'm asking you to do is just believe and see what God will do in your life. You might be needing a turn of events in your life, in your physical health, your mental status. Maybe your children are unruly. Maybe your finances. Whatever the case may be, you're at your wit's end. You don't know what to do. I know somebody that can help you. His name is Jesus. Just pray this prayer with me right now and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I repent my sins to you right now. I believe that you died for mankind and God raised you from the dead. And I'm asking you to come into my life. Show yourself strong to me. I promise you, if you do that, I will follow you all the days of my life. And with your help, I'll make you Lord over my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. You are now a child of God. That's all it takes to get started. That's all it takes to get started. But now you need to get yourself a Bible. The Holy Spirit will come and he will make his home in you. He's going to change you. You're going to feel differently. You're going to want to know him. You're going to turn away from things that are not good for you, things that are not in Christ Jesus. But he's going to build you up and he's going to pare away the excess of things that are keeping you from a wonderful life in Christ. But rest assured, if you stay with it, we'll all see each other and we'll all have a wonderful time in the Lord. If not on this earth, in heaven, because he has a place for you now. Amen. Amen. We are Spirit of Truth Church worldwide, and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You're welcome to come visit. You're welcome to join the church. Let the Lord lead you. We don't solicit people. We like for the Lord to bring you, because we're a church that really, really sincerely tries to follow the word of God and not the word of man. So you're welcome to come here and join us anytime. Until then, we are going to now pray, and we're going to pray a deliverance prayer for the things that are hampering human beings as a whole and even in the church. And then we're going to adjourn. If there's anyone who needs prayer, you're welcome to come up afterwards. So let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you right now. I'm asking you, Lord, if you would remove these things in our lives. Would you take away blasphemy and obscenity, profanity, coarse talking, critical spirits, Lord God, spirits of jealousy, spirits of coveting, envy, murmuring, gossiping, selfishness, greed, and gluttony. Lord, take away that pride, Lord, which you've outlined so thoroughly today. Remove rebellion, stubbornness, prejudice, hatred, unforgiveness, unrepentant hearts, spiritual blindness, racism, fear. Lord, you're not giving us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Take away confusion, argumentativeness, contentions, Lord God. Remove resentment from us, depression and anxiety, revenge, superstition. Help transgender children to be on the right track. Remove procrastination, complacency, apathy, lying, stealing, fraud and deceit, mental sexual abuse, child and spousal and elder abuse. Remove domestic violence from your people. Murder, Lord God, help us, Lord, to respect the lives of people. Remove abortion, suicide, self-mutilation, selfish ambition, addictive spirits, spirits of mental illnesses, infirmities, physical impairments, discouragement, mocking God, superficial faith, unrighteous judging, conceit, fence straddling, compromising Christianity, casual Christianity, Lord God. Let us have a heart for you in all things. Let us go full bore toward the Lord. Remove satanic cults, divination, fraternizing in witchcraft, voodoo, Ouija boards, seances, psychics, fortune tellers, tarot cards, tea leaves, crystal balls, astrology, anything dealing with the occult, Lord God, let it be far from us. Remove homosexuality from us, bisexuality, adultery, fornication, incest, cross-dressing, pornography, immorality, any kind of sexual deviancy, Lord God, remove it from your people. Gambling, doubt, division, hidden agendas, distraction, unbelief, cyberbullying, Lord God, animal cruelty, Lord God, abusing the land. Help us, Lord, to walk in you in all things. And Lord, now finally, would you give all of those who came out traveling mercies to get home safely? Would you bless those who need finances, Lord God, financial boost? Would you help us, Lord God, those who are hurting physically? Would you remove their ailments, Lord God? Would you halt cancer where it is, Lord, in the name of Jesus? Do a supernatural work in all of our lives, Lord God, until we can get together again. Bless us now as we go on our way. We give you all praise, all glory, Lord. Everything goes to you, the Most High God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly greater than anything we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power working in us, which is you, Lord. We thank you and honor you. These things we pray in Jesus' name, and we all say amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And prayer warriors are standing by if you need prayer.